It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Thursday, hour number two. You Better You Bet here on the BetQL Audio Network. Hour number three is the Power Hour. That's next hour for the mathematically challenged. All our picks for tonight.
For you dummies out there.
For all you idiots out there. Hey, moron. The third hour is next. Since this is the second hour, ergo, next is three. All our picks for tonight in the NBA and Major League Baseball. Plus, Nicky Football going to reveal his Champions League bets for the upcoming semifinals and to pick for tomorrow in the English Premier League with Tottenham and Everton. Final hour of the show. That would be hour number four. Dedicated entirely to the NFL draft. Well, capper Drew Dinsick is going to join us in about 40 minutes. He's got some interesting theories on the NFL draft, and especially as it concerns the third overall pick, Justin Fields in the San Francisco 49ers. But right now, let's spend some time. It's been a while since we've had him on the show. It's great to have him back. His information is absolutely outstanding. And like I always say, you'd have to be a moron not to find value in the content that Rob Bazzola brings to the show. Pro Sports Better Rob Bazzola joins us now. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet, BetQL Audio Network here on a Thursday. Rob, what's going on, my man? Welcome back to the show. How we feeling?
Doing well, Nick. Good to talk to you guys again. It's been a while.
Yeah, and I think as a result of both, that it has been a while and also just kind of the time we find ourselves in with all these different sports going on at the same time, I think we have a kind of a lot of random stuff to hit you with, some on field or on ice stuff. And then also some kind of off the field stuff in terms of NFTs and Top Shot and all that stuff. Let's do hockey first, just to kind of get it out of the way, but this is also your specialty. Maybe there's something actionable you can give us and give our listeners and viewers and everything. How has hockey betting been going? It's something Nick and I, we dabble in, but we don't do with a lot, ferociousness this year compared to NBA
alacrity.
And baseball. Alacrity. That was the word that we used all last week.
I don't know what it means, but I know like that's the right instance to use it.
That was the right time. You're absolutely right. Rob, how's hockey been going? Good.
I would say it's been a roller coaster for sure. I'm mired in a good stretch right now, but it's certainly been ups and downs over the course of the year. And I think this has been kind of like a good learning experience for me, because this has been essentially a unicorn season where you kind of have to guess at what things are along the way. There's just not a lot of data to work with on, teams playing each other 7, 8, 9 times in a season, rest situations that we haven't seen before, home ice advantage and how that has evolved as the season has gone on. So there's certainly been some frustrating points for me this year. And I would say that I found myself as a better, more frustrated than ever at points this season, but luckily have righted the ship, which was a rough March with a pretty good start in April so far.
I think we can tell how frustrated you are because you use the verbiage here, mired, which is generally a word associated with negative things, mired in a winning streak. So like that, yes, the frustration definitely comes across there. We'll move away from the NHL in a second here, Rob, but is there anything like anything noteworthy for our listeners and viewers who may be interested in betting hockey? Stanley Cup. I mean, I was actually just looking and like I have a couple, all my futures are ones that you've already given us previously on the show. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's another team you like to maybe win the cup that we haven't yet discussed. Maybe it's like a game by game angle that you think's interesting. Anything, anyone on the board you'd like to take us here? Anything actionable you think for our listeners and viewers as it concerns betting the National Hockey League?
Yeah. First and foremost, I talked to you guys about this probably a month and a half or 2 months ago, but people naturally are going to gravitate towards looking at underdogs in the NHL to win the Stanley Cup. They're going to look at the board. They're going to try to find a team that's 30-1, 50-1, whatever. I think this is the wrong season to do that just in general because of the way that things are structured and teams will be playing each other, divisional teams in the playoffs as well. And I actually think that you could pick a team at the top of the board and you're probably going to get value on them right now. Like looking across the league in past seasons, it would be insane to say there's value on a team at plus 450 to win the Stanley Cup, which is what the Colorado Avalanche are in most spots right now. But that's like a roughly 19% implied probability. And Colorado is going to win the cup more than 19% of the time. That's probably closer to 25 or 30%. So rather than focusing on the bottom end where you have, frankly, the league average team this year, I think, is slightly worse than what we've seen in the past. And the gap between the best teams in the league, whether that's Colorado, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Vegas, whatever, to that middle tier is much larger than we've seen in past years as well. So I'd say focus at the top of the board. Colorado's the favorite. I think there's still value there. Tampa Bay's the second favorite. They're going to get Nikita Kucherov back in the playoffs. They're probably going to have Steven Stamkos back in the playoffs as well. So that number, while it doesn't look appealing right now with the way that the Lightning are playing, it's going to be a pretty good number once playoff time comes, especially since Florida lost their number one defenseman in Aaron Ekblad. So focus at the top of the board for sure if you're looking at futures. And then just from a divisional perspective, there's still odds out on who's going to win each division. And in the East Division, we took Boston earlier on in the year. This was probably back in February. It's a bad number now just based on the way things have gone for them this season. They lost their top two goalies, Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak, for an extended period of time. But I'm looking at the board now, and Pittsburgh is plus 300 to win the East Division. They're back. They're behind Washington by roughly, I think, 4 points going into today's action as well. But I'm not in love with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think that, you know, in that division with Boston, the Islanders, and the Capitals, I think they're probably the worst of the four teams. But just by virtue of, like, the way I rate them right now, the fact that they're going to get Evgeny Malkin back before the season is over as well, I think plus 300 is a pretty decent bet there. I would have lined them closer to plus 225, plus 250 to win the division right now.
I'll ask the next question, which will give Nick a chance to put in every single wager that Rob just went over in terms of the division at Stanley Cup, as I see Nick like furiously clicking right now. So Rob, in addition to hockey, obviously that's a sport that you bet a lot on. You're very passionate about. I know the NFL is another sport that you're very passionate about. And the NFL draft is an event that you generally bet a lot of money on. So I know we're a couple weeks away. It's 2 weeks from today, actually, the first round of the NFL draft. Walk us through kind of the work that you've done on the draft so far. If you want to reveal bets that you've made, that's great. If you don't, because the limits are low, that's fine too. But kind of the work that you've done up to this point in terms of NFL draft betting.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'll be completely honest with you, Ken. I'm very disappointed with the draft markets this year, just in general, relative to last year. And I think what I found so appealing about the NFL draft last year, for one, was that there's nothing else going on in the summer of last year. I think outside of golf at the time, maybe golf hadn't even started at that point. So there was just like a lot of time to focus on it. And you could basically shop sportsbook to sportsbook, get some wildly different numbers across the board. And that was exciting for me. Whereas this year, you look at the NFL draft and we're not far out from it. And there's still like 50% of the sportsbooks that haven't even posted draft props yet. Limits are extremely low. So from that perspective, you know, I was really digging into it about 3 or 4 weeks ago and anticipating being able to get down the same amount of money I did last year, making a lot of early bets. But that just hasn't come to fruition this year just because of the market landscape. So over the last week or so, I've really slowed things down and I've calmed down and I've basically told myself, if I do start to see higher limits and a bunch of different sports books posting things, then I'll get in on it. With that said, you know, I've made some bets already, which I'm actually not even sure if they're plus EV anymore or not. But I did take Mac Jones to go third overall, just based off of news breaking last week. A lot of markets moving pretty quickly, and then some books being slow to catch up. Now there's some, you know, reports today. I guess I don't want to say reports, but I don't even want to say Adam Schefter's backtracking on that, but he's kind of left the possibility open that the 49ers are still interested in Justin Fields, which has me a little bit concerned. But at the end of the day, I wasn't even able to get a whole lot of money down anyway. So that's kind of been the last week for me, which is disappointing because I loved the NFL draft experience last year. And I'm just not as invested this year because of the way that the markets have shaped up.
You bet BetQL Audio Network. Thursday, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, joined by pro sports bettor Rob Pezzola at Rob Pezzola on Twitter. Rob, you know, I guess this is like a general question and maybe somewhat rooted in what you were just talking about, the market for Justin Fields. And Fields right now is the betting favorite, right? And Mac Jones had been the betting favorite for most of the week this week. And Ken and I were kind of discussing, well, like, how does that happen? Like, what happens? Like, nothing concrete has been thrown out. There have been rumors and innuendo, right, that has made Justin Fields now the betting favorite. I wouldn't be shocked tomorrow if it's back to Mac Jones or if like a report comes out that they like Trey Lance and maybe Trey Lance becomes the betting favorite. So I guess kind of like, A, if you had to guess, why do you think it is that Fields has now become the betting favorite? Like, how does something like that happen? And B, like, how do you personally, as like an accomplished sports bettor, like distill all like the insane amount of information that we get coming out of like sources, reporters, unnamed, anonymous people, right? And we're still 2 weeks out. Like, the lion's share of all this crap hasn't even started to come out yet. So we're right at like the beginning of all of this. So kind of like that two-part question here on the third overall pick, and then overall kind of how you distill all this stuff.
Right. So it's a really good question. And I think last year I very much took the approach of digging deeper into each specific team and each specific general manager and their tendencies just in general, and not necessarily tendencies in terms of who they are going to draft, but also the news reports surrounding those teams around draft time. And what I found was for about half the teams in the league, most of the news that had been released around previous drafts ended up being total nonsense or garbage, to the point where I think that teams have a vested interest in putting some false information out there in order to, throw other teams off the scent in some cases. Whereas there are some teams in the league that are very truthful in general, and the general manager speaks very openly about what their position is. So that's kind of what I really got to last year in terms of, okay, am I really going to buy the reports that are coming out of, you know, the Detroit Free Press or whatever based off of previous years? And I thought that really worked into my advantage. And then on top of that, I think what really helped me last year is that there are certain people out there that have a pretty good history of mock drafts. And I'll throw his name out there, and I respect him quite a bit, but Evan Silva, for example, has a history of being right more often than not in these
mock drafts. We had him on the show yesterday talking about it.
And he's great, but as soon as Evan Silva puts out a new mock draft, the market is going to react accordingly to that. And I, in my opinion, if you disagree with Evan Silva, who probably doesn't have inside information, he's more so kind of taking that same approach that I was last year. If you disagree with him, you're going to get a really good number. So the way I see it is a lot of good mock drafters actually move the market. He's one of them. There's about a handful in total that as soon as they drop their mock, people are going to bet it. But I can think back to last year, Evan Silva changed his Lions pick to Derek Brown, which created, in my opinion, some great value on Jeff Okuda to go third overall. And that was one of my biggest bets of the draft, and it just happened to work out in my favor. And again, it's a very small sample. It's 1 year. But what I especially have noticed with the draft prop market is that there are a handful of people with major influence. Everyone is rushing to bet any sort of news that they can find, especially if Adam Schefter is going to tweet anything out. And in some cases, there's some reality to those mock drafts or those news, that news, and there's some like quote unquote inside information, or it's very reliable. But in some cases it's not, and you can pick off a better number. So it's not an exact science to me. It's a very different than my regular approach in betting on sports, because this to me is more gut feel than anything else. But the reality is you have to incorporate all of these things, and you really have to put yourself in the general manager's shoes, right? It's not who should my team draft as a fan. It's who is this general manager going to draft based off of their past tendencies.
Rob, we only have a couple minutes left. I'm absolutely fascinated by, a lot of that, but something that you said specifically in the middle of that answer, which is that you were kind of preparing a lot of team profiles based on who the general manager was, and that was going to lead you in the right direction. I'm curious if you have a team profile for John Lynch in San Francisco, which could help us make sense of information about who they're going to take third, like something you've gleaned from your last couple of years looking at San Francisco. Or if you don't, could you give us kind of one team where it's like, this is a team that never gives anything away, or this is a team where you should believe what you read in the press?
I think we got about 90 seconds left also, Rob.
No problem. So John Lynch, I don't really have a profile. Now, I think what there was news that leaked, and I don't know if it was with an inside source within the 49ers or someone close to the team, but there was something going around, I would say not even publicly last week, but privately in the sports betting community, that the 49ers were going to take Mac Jones. And I think everyone has to take that with a grain of salt. Like, there's going to be a dozen people that message me around draft time saying this team is going to take this person, but you have no idea if that's true or not. So I kind of dismiss that stuff, but the person who sent me that is fairly reliable. So I went off of that news. So I don't really know with the 49ers. Like, to me, Fields is a much better fit for that offense than Mac Jones. That's not to say he's going to be a better pro, and they might just be enamored with Jones, but it is what it is. I'll stick with my team, like my favorite team that I cheer for, the Dallas Cowboys. If there's a rumor that they're interested in an offensive player, they are very interested in that offensive player, because Jerry Jones typically, he just falls in love with people and speaks his mind, and he still has a lot of sway over that organization in general. So historically speaking, if you do see Dallas is eyeing an offensive target, it's very likely that they are probably eyeing that offensive target. Now, things change during the draft, and you guys fall into your lap, like CeeDee Lamb, for example, who Dallas was probably never eyeing it on any occasion because they thought he was going to be off the board at that time. But in general, I would say that that's one team that's pretty easy to follow news
good
surrounding.
Good stuff, Rob. Yeah, sorry. We're out of time, Rob. I'm going to promote your charity on the other side here. Great stuff from Rob Bazzola. Name game coming up next. He's on Twitter. Follow him at Rob Bazzola.